بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I'm sitting here looking at some of the most beautiful scenery that I've seen in a long, long time. I've sent you some pictures of that yesterday, send you some more today. I went out in the morning early, just before sunrise, just after Salat al-Fajr, and I took some pictures. The water is absolutely still, like a sheet of glass, with the trees on the bank being reflected in it. The clouds. Almost covering up the water, as if telling me, shh, don't make any noise. Not that I was, but you know, trees. And so very, very beautiful scenery. And I was thinking to myself at that time that one of the things I do is I make dua for people who have passed away, and I make for general dua for all the Muslims who have passed away, but I make specific dua for some people. I make specific dua for my parents, my mother and father. I make dua for two people who served us. There was a man called Muhammad Ghaus who was with us when we were little children. He was with my parents even at the time I was born. And then my father used to be posted in different very small towns because he worked for the government as a doctor. And they were in little villages, I mean, small towns, yes, but they were more like villages, no electricity, in many cases no running water. There would be a well in the yard from which you had to draw water for whatever use you needed water for. The upside of it was that the water was clean. I mean, they didn't even boil the water. They just drew it out of the well and drank it, and alhamdulillah, they were healthy. So I make dua for them. I make dua for my parents. I make dua for Muhammad Ghaus. I make dua for Mahmood, who was our butler in the anomalies in planting. And his actual name was Muhammad Khan. But out of respect for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he joined our service, I said to him, I can't call you Muhammad. And, you know, if I have to call you from somewhere, I say, Muhammad, come here, Muhammad, do this. I said, I can't do that. So I am going to, what do you think I'll call you if I call you Mahmood? Again, a beautiful meaning, but it's not the name of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, no problem, alhamdulillah. So he got this name, Mahmood. And then I make dua for the muazzin of Masjid al-Kahf, who used to be there when we lived in that area for 10 years. He was a muazzin and an old man. And if he didn't see me in for one salah, he would scold me. I mean, literally. I mean, he would say, "Kaante aap, pehgu nahi hai?" And his adhan was, he had a throat like nobody's business. I mean, there's nothing wrong with his lungs. And his voice was as if he was reaching puberty. It was sort of split. But mashallah, very beautiful adhan, alhamdulillah. He would always wear a white turban. And whenever I went to the masjid, I would greet him and he would give me a lot of dua. So I make dua for him. I make dua for Mahmood Bhai, who is my driver Muzaffar's grandfather, who again was in our service for almost maybe 15 years. Amazing man, mashallah. He always looked like he'd just come out of, a clothing show or something. I mean, he was like that. He was absolutely spick and span clothing. White he would wear, and he would have sometimes a Palestinian shimakh, white beard. He claimed to be 97 years old. Allah knows how old he was, but he used to walk about he used to walk about, I think about 5 or 6 kilometers a day to get to our house. From earlier, we lived closer to his place, but later when we moved, he would come to this place as well. And every single day, he would be there. And then I make dua for my very, very dear friends in America, two of my dearest brothers, Sheikh Omar Yakhteen and Sheikh Melhem Borhat. So these two brothers, they passed away. May Allah bless them. They were like the two. They were like two pillars of the Masjid of ISWM. There was never. It was not. You couldn't go to the Masjid at any time without seeing either both of them there or at least one of them there. There was no way. I mean, when I lived here in 97, 98. There was no way that I would go to the Masjid without seeing either Brother Omar or Brother Malham or both of them in the Masjid. Then I make dua for Ali Chaush, who is used to be in Nizamabad, and he was from Hadramaut, from Yemen. And of course, he was among the, he was actually not directly from there, he was a descendant of people from there who came and worked with the Nizam as the Nizam's African contingent in the Nizam's army. So he was a descendant of those people and absolutely wonderful man. He used to call me Dr. Saab. For some reason, I have no idea why. But he used to call me Dr. Saab. He was put on to me by Jamil Bhai. May Allah bless him and may Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus wal Arabi Qariza. And so from then onwards, anytime I went to Nizamabad, I would always meet Ali Chaush. The two memories of Ali Chaush I have, amazing. He was, here. He used to get migraines. And when he would get a migraine, he would put some balm, some Amrutanjan or something on his head, and he would tie a scarf very tight around his forehead and around his head. He would, you know, tie it and very, very hard pull it. So he was sitting in his house one day. I went there and I said, I asked the people, where is he? He said he didn't come today. He's at home. So I went to his house and there he was sitting and he said, Doctor Saab, I said, no, I came there. And I said, what's the reason? I said, do you have a headache? He said, I knew it was a blinding migraine. You know, but the man never complained. So I said, what did you eat? He said, mere Habib ki dawa hai. Abhi kya ho raha dusra? He said, I have taken the medicine of my Habib. And by Habib, of course, he meant Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentioned to me the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would feel any pain. He said, I made this dua, alhamdulillah. The second memory I have of him is one day I was in Dubai. And I get this call on my Indian number. I usually don't answer any calls on my Indian number when I'm traveling abroad because I, you know, have international dialing rates and all that. So, but there are some people whose calls I always answer, and Ali Chaush was one of them. So I answered the call. He says to me, Dr. Saab, aap foran yahan aaiye. He says, come here immediately. Here is Nizamabad. So I said to him, Ali Chaush, I am in Dubai and I will come to Nizamabad as soon as I land in India, inshallah. But what is the emergency? Is there an emergency? So then, of course, he was very apologetic. He didn't realize I was in Dubai. He said, I mai samjha aap yahan chahiye. I said, no, don't worry. I will come as soon as I land there. So he said, okay. So as soon as I landed there, I got hold of my dearest brother, and his other brother need not feel jealous about that. I say the same thing about him as well, Saad. And I said to Saad, let's go to Nizamabad because Ali Chaush is calling us. So Saad and I went off to Nizamabad. When we reached there, Ali Chaush got into the car and he said, drive. So we drove and we came to this village called Jhadi Jamalpur. And as we drove into the village, he showed me there was a Catholic church right at the entrance of the village, which by village standard, by any standard, pretty big. And lots of statues of Jesus and Mary and whoever, purporting to be the statues of them in the yard. He says to Elijah, said, the Christians are here, they are proselytizing. They have offered, he said, there are about 30 Muslims in this village, and they are all landless laborers, which means that every day also they won't have work. The Christians have promised them daily work, and they have promised them 10,000 rupees each if they accept Christianity. So I said to Ali Chavish, "Then what are these people?" He said, "Sir, these people are saying that you make a masjid." These people are saying, "Build a masjid." Now imagine, these are people who are destitute. They have no work. They have no job. They are being offered 10,000 rupees each. I don't think they would have even dared to dream that, at their best moments. So they were offered this 10,000 rupees each, and they were offered regular work. And this is for daily wage laborers who do not get regular work. Yet, these people, they don't ask for regular work. They didn't come to the Muslim, to anybody else and say, they are giving me 10,000, what will you give me? They're not auctioning their souls or themselves. They said, just build us a masjid. And on top of that, they said, you build the masjid, we will come and do the building for that masjid free. Now, here is a daily wage worker who, if he gets the money, then he feeds his family. If he doesn't get a job, he can't eat. Yet he is offering his labor for free to build the masjid. Anyway, to make a long story short, all of this was done, alhamdulillah. So I make dua for Ali Chavish, and I make dua for my father-in-law, Dr. Abdul Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and fill his qabr with noor. Again, an absolutely wonderful man, and all my memories of him are, of his absolutely beautiful sense of humor. This is a long history. I mean, my wife and I have been married for 35 years, so long history. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is because, first of all, many of the people who listen to this will recognize most or some of these names, and I request you also to make dua for these people. The reason I'm saying all this and all this detail is because what struck me, and alhamdulillah, this should strike us every day, is that every one of these people is in their cover and they are helpless to do anything about themselves. There is me, I'm making dua for them, and whoever else is making dua for them, inshallah this dua reaches them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these duas. But these people are people who cannot do anything for themselves. And it's not only these people, this is the state of anyone who has died and who has passed away. That they cannot do anything for themselves in the alam al-barzakh, in the qabr. And my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that a day will come when you and I will join them. We will join them in that place, in that alam. What will help us is what we do here today. And that is the reason why Rasulullah ﷺ said, the most intelligent one of you is the one who remembers his death most often. Because when you remember your death, you will remember that you are going to reach a stage where you will be helpless. Death is not the name for the cessation of existence. Death is the name for the cessation of control, of choice. You die when your choice ends. Or when you die, your choice ends. Your life doesn't end. Life continues. Life only moves from one state into another state, intiqal. From the alam al-shahada to the alam al-barzakh. And then from the alam al-barzakh, on the day of judgment, we will be resurrected into a new state, which is the day of judgment, yawmul akhirah, yawmul qiyamah. And then inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shift us from there into jannatul firdaus al-ala bi ghayri hisab. So life continues. Life continued when we came into this world. We were born here, in a manner of speaking, meaning that we came into this world, but our existence did not start here. Our existence started in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And there is no time frame to describe that. We can't say 10 years, 50 years, 1000 years, 500,000 years. Because years and days and nights are a concept and they are a factor of this life in this world. They have that. There's no concept of day and night and so forth in the grave, in the Alamul Barzakh. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in one place in the Quran, He called the Day of Judgment Alfa Sana, 1,000 years. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it Khamsina Alfa Sana, 50,000 years. So this is just allegorical references for us to understand that it is a very, very long time, days of our reckoning. But the point is that life therefore continues. What stops? What stops is our choice, the freedom of choice. What stops is our ability to act. This is what stops. Nobody has a freedom of choice in their khabar. You can't decide once you go into the grave, you can't say, well, you know what, I now realize that I should have prayed and I didn't pray, and now I'm going to make up all my qaza salawat. No, there is no qaza salawat in the khabar. Just like there is no dukan and there is no makan and there is no shop and there is no house and there is no career and there is no earning a living in the alam al barzakh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us free. In this world we have to work for our living, but in that world we are still living, but there is no, you don't have to earn a living, you don't have to think about your breakfast, lunch and dinner. If there is no breakfast, lunch and dinner in that world, we will exist, and we will exist in a way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what that way is. But what will cease is our freedom of choice. Now, this freedom of choice that we have been given in this world, therefore, is so precious and so important, because that we make the right choices. Because only if we make the right choices will we then be able to live in the next world free from care, inshallah, and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must work in a way where we create people who will make dua for us when we are gone. We must work in a way where we live in a situation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu will create those people to make dua for us. And even if there is nobody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us, alhamdulillah. After all, one of the questions I sometimes ask in my lectures, and all of these questions I ask in the lectures, I'm really speaking to myself, I'm asking this question to myself. But one of the questions I ask people is, how many of you prayed and made dua for your parents in tahajjud today? I'm asking all of you this question, wherever you are, in China, in Japan, in Russia, in America, in Canada, in India, Australia, wherever this podcast reaches. I'm asking this question to my Muslim brothers and sisters. How many of you prayed and made dua for your parents in tahajjud today? And you know what the answer to that is. And I won't even tell you what response, what is the percentage of response I get. And then I ask them another question. I say, how many of you made dua for your grandparents, for your paternal and maternal grandparents, nana, dada, nana, dadi, nani? How many of you made dua for your grandparents in tahajjud today? Now think about that. That for majority of us, right, in the big 90s, for the majority of people, you did not make dua for your parents in tahajjud today. First of all, because you don't pray tahajjud. And secondly, even if you did pray, you didn't make dua for them. And for your grandparents, even less. This is what? One generation, right? So in one generation, believe me, for the majority of us, we will be forgotten by our own children. We will be forgotten by our own grandchildren. One of the ironies of life, which I always reflect on, is that if you were a nasty creature, then when you died, people are happy that you are dead, so nobody will mention you. And if you were a wonderful person, then people won't mention you, because the moment they mention you, then your children, whoever is there, they start weeping, they start crying, and their eyes fill up with tears. So you stop mentioning them. Now, I won't mention the names, but there are two or three people in my own close family who were such absolutely wonderful people. That every time I think of them, even I feel, my tears, my eyes filling up with tears. So when I am in the homes of their children, we don't talk about those people, because we feel, if you mention so and so, if you mention this person's mother or father, they will feel bad. But the reality is that if you are nasty, they don't mention you because you are nasty. If you are good, they don't mention you before you are good. The reality is that they stop mentioning you. Right? Sarab zindagani ki बस इतनी सी हकीकत है कि आंखें बंद हो और आदमी अफसाना बन जाए. This is a famous share. It says that the story of life is simply this, that And the reality of the story of life of Sarab is, as in the dream or the mirage of life, is such that the eyes shut and the man or the person becomes a story. If you think about that, if you say, take that at the time of Salatul Janaza, when you are lying there, they will say janaza ko samne lao. They say bring the janaza in the front so the salat can be read. They won't say yavar sahab ko leke aao, bring yavar sahab to the front. No, they say bring the janaza to the front. Even your name stops being mentioned when you are dead. I remind myself, when you let us live our lives in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the mention for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create those who will make dua for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us and will never be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.